Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, Small Business.
Commercial, because we thought that's where the money's going to be. And these were all builders, of course, and we learned a lot about dealing with builders.
You learned a lot about builders, did you?
We worked the entire summer, and we got like one or two paychecks toward the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And we were so booked up we couldn't keep going, but we couldn't continue to work because we had no money.
Yeah.
I mean, we finally called him up and told him that Andrew broke his leg, and so we weren't going to do the work anymore.
Oh, no. And, you know, here, and you guys thought, well, we'll go mow yard, and we'll be able to eat
jobs,
this weekend.
And yeah, I mean, everybody was willing to take us, and they were just going to pay us on their terms. We used to have to show up, and we call it, in my business, the Mario approach. You know, you show up and say, okay, I'm here for my checks. And they'd say, oh, that's coming from the other office, and, you know, we have to have authorization, and did you give me those invoices? I've lost them. I need them again.
Well, you know, the thing, and I've told this story before on the show. I had some clients who came to me. A banker sent them to me to help them get their business plan off the ground. They wanted to expand their business, and they were going to, you know, like quadruple their business in a completely different aspect of that industry, and they'd been in the construction business. Now they were going to go into more of a retail business, and so. They had their budget completely figured out. They knew exactly down to the penny how much it was going to cost for them to go into business. And they thought they'd need about $1 million. And so I looked at their program, and they went away, and I tinkered with it a little bit. And then after I put it over on a spreadsheet, applying some of the timeline that you and I were just talking about, what I determined was that because of the business that they were projected to do and that I thought they actually could do, they were going to need $2 million.
Just for financing the money.
The extra million was just to finance their growth.
That's right.
And when I told them that, they just about had a stroke. Mm-hmm. And so they wind up not doing it. Mm-hmm. And this is the story where when I sent them my bill, they sent me back double what I billed them. And I called them up and I said, what's the matter? You know, I said, hey, you guys, I can't cash this check. You paid me too much. They said, no, it was worth every penny. They said, we figure you saved us $2 million.
Oh, that's great.
You don't get many of those.
No, I'm waiting for those.
But the whole thing is that sometimes people will think they've got a collection problem when really what they have is a high-class business problem, meaning a lot of business.
Yeah, you've got to be able to afford to put the equipment on the streets and to put your people out there and get your product delivered or your service delivered and still finance the day-to-day operations without any money. Without income coming in from your clients. So.
Right. Now, how do you tell, this is where we're getting to the end, we're actually going to get into the collection thing here now, folks.
Okay.
We've got to be able to tell when you have a collection situation rather than just somebody who is paying you in the normal course of business.
Well, usually the first key indication is if you have an ongoing and continuing service, if they stop using your service.
Yeah.
This is how credit companies tell when somebody's become a credit risk.
Mm-hmm.
If they stop using the credit card.
Yeah.
If they're maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
If they've hit your upper limit of what you would allow somebody to become in debt to you. And be sure you have these limits. That's another thing. A lot of people will allow a customer to get $10,000 and $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 in a very short period of time, and then they figure out this guy's going to be a credit problem.
Absolutely.
So you have a credit rep max.
Stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. We're talking about collections in your small business. 888-822-8255. If you've got a question or a comment, 888-822-8255. Just a little respect. That's all small business owners ask.
A little
Sarah.
Money.
A little respect and a little bit of money. Yeah, we could use a little bit of money. We're back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest and our good friend, and we're talking about how to avoid liability problems in your small business. And one of the things that happens is you sometimes have collection problems with your customers. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're talking about. And Sarah, we've been talking about, by the way, folks, if you'd like to join us, the number is 888-822-8255. If you have a situation that you think Sarah might be able to help you with, she'd be glad to do that. 888-822-8255. We were talking about knowing when you have a collection problem and when you just have a regular business situation, and you know that's the key. And you were telling us about how people can tell
mm-hmm.
when someone's doing business. I mean, someone's having a credit problem or having a cash flow problem. One of the things that they start doing, from a local standpoint, from a small business standpoint, is they start doing business with your competitors.
Well, that's true. You know, it's funny. I do a lot of business with advertising companies that do direct mail, that are coupon books or
mm-hmm.
Little flyers in the mail kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably 20 different ones in my area. So for some reason, our area is a hotbed of this. And as soon as my client sees an ad, their client's ad, and another one, because they get all of them,
yeah.
they'll know that there's a problem.
Yeah. What will happen is, and folks, this will happen to you when someone will call you. You don't have a collection problem yet with this person that's calling you. They're a new customer. In fact, you've been wanting to get their business.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're doing business with you. Now, let's note, so that you don't think I'm just, you know, I'm not just a gloomy Gus, and you know, maybe it's good business, but maybe they've just gone as far as they can with your competitor who they've been doing business with and whom you've been coveting, this business you've been coveting for all this time, and now they're calling you to see about doing business with you. Don't let your collection guard down.
Yeah, there are two ways to prevent people like that. The first is to belong to trade associations. I find that in talking amongst the direct mailers, that the same people go from place to place to place.
Right.
And if the direct mailers are meeting and having trade association meetings and talking about their bad clients, that very often that someone else will pipe up and go, uh-oh.
Yep,
they just called me, so they're not paying their bills for you. The other way to avoid things like that is to get references and ask if they've used this type of service before. As an attorney, I almost if somebody told me they'd been to two other attorneys with this same problem, I would not do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a general rule in our office. If you've been to two other attorneys, then I am not the genius of the world to be able to figure out why, but there's, you know, this 99 times out of 100, I'm not going to have any look at you because you've already been to two other places that have already determined you're not a successful project.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
trust your fellow business operators. You may be unique and you may have a wonderful way of doing business, but that doesn't mean you can rescue someone who may be a collection problem or not a good issue for you to take on.
Right. At what point in time do you recommend? All right, we've moved beyond this now. We've done business with these people, and we've billed them in a normal period of time. We've given them a normal period of time to pay their bill, and in fact the period of time that we agreed that they would pay you has gone by. Now, what do you do?
Well, the first thing you do is make sure that you have sent out a full statement showing all of the charges and then any invoices that belong with it. Make sure all the paperwork is in order. What we usually do is send out a complete statement or copy of everything that we have by fax and follow it up with a phone call that day. So they can't pull the old, I'm sorry, I haven't seen that bill. Oh,
mm-hmm.
gee, did I get that bill?
Mm-hmm.
and if they start avoiding your phone calls, or lying to you, like the check's in the mail kind of thing, and
mm-hmm.
a week later it still isn't there, then you know you've got a real collection problem. We usually suggest that people, if you bill on a 30-day basis and at the end of 30 days you haven't been paid, start with a phone call within about 5 to 10 days of the end of that 30-day period
mm-hmm.
and continue to see what you get by making telephone calls. Anywhere from 3 to 5 phone, you know, once a week phone calls, in that second 30-day period.
What about if it's enough size and you're a small business, and what about a personal visit?
I think that personal visits are a wonderful idea, but a lot of my clients are very physically intimidated, especially women, small women business owners, knowing
mm-hmm.
they're going out to a property where there's a lot of large people that may scare them. I've heard that
yeah.
quite often. But in most circumstances, it's a very effective way of collecting.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. She's our small business attorney. And would you like to give us a call and ask a question? If you do, 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. 888-822-8255. That's the phone number if you'd like to join us. 888-822-8255. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. smallbusinessadvocate.com. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. She's our small business attorney, and she's helping us understand how to collect our money. And that's the section that we're in right now, which is part of her 101 Ways to Avoid Liability in Your Small Business. Sarah, you have a website as well, don't you?
I do. It's www.calvertcalvertandassociates.com.
And you have a phone number.
703 in Virginia, 591-5315, or 800-526-5665.
Okay, we'll give you a chance to give that out a little bit later. Okay. One of the things we were talking about when we took the break, I said something about how do you feel about going out and making a personal visit, knocking on the door and saying, hey, I appreciate your business and you guys have been good customers, but we got a little bit of a problem. I've called, I've sent a letter or whatever, and I was wondering if I've just come by to see if there's anything wrong. Is there something we've done? And if not, could I pick up a check?
And that's a very effective way of collecting money. A lot
and
of my clients.
Said, but you said something about being intimidated, and I really have a problem with that.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I'm not saying you're
wrong. No, it depends on the industry, but I find that my women business owners are much less likely to go out into an area where they would feel physically intimidated.
But do you really think that? I mean, I don't know. I'm not. I guess I can't. I don't have that perspective as a guy. But I mean, I'm not a big person. I don't know. Do you think they feel unsafe?
Well, I think to a certain extent they feel that this is something they don't want to physically approach. They would rather do it by telephone or by letter,
yeah.
Especially if they feel there's a problem.
But you know what? I think most people, I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about dealing with people who aren't going to commit a crime here.
Right.
I think most people would, if I were, you know, if some little lady came to me and said, you know, hey, Jim, let's talk some business here. What's going on? I would admire that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would respect that, and I probably would respond.
Well, I was going to say, and I don't personally feel that way, but I know in talking, it just, you know, there are different sexes have different methods
yeah.
of doing things.
Well,
so.
Maybe I don't have the right to say this as a guy, but ladies, get in your car, go over there, and collect your money. I think you'll be a hit.
Yeah, I find it very effective in any kind of receptionary office for you to very quietly go up front and say, I'm here to pick up my check for $6.33 and sit down and politely wait.
Yeah.
I've done that several times with clients of mine. I used to have a secretary that used to send a courier around.
Right.
See, I know you've been promising to pay us, and I happen to have a courier coming. Is 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock better? And
then sure.
She'd schedule this whole round of a courier going around and picking up these checks.
We've done that thing. Hey, I've got a guy that's in your area. Could he just drop by right now?
Right. Exactly,
uh-huh.
Exactly. And that's a very effective tool of one-on-one, because anybody who is honestly just pushing you off is going to come up with the money at that point.
Now,
they don't want to be embarrassed in their own office.
I don't want to waste all the legal advice that we've got you here for.
But
we got a problem. We've done everything we know how to do, that we know to do. We've done all the things that Jim and Sarah and the other collection experts that we've had on the show have told us to do. Now, we know we have a problem. The people just are not responding. They will not respond. Maybe they've even said, I'm not going to pay you or I can't pay you.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
Well, at that point, your best bet is to probably turn it over to an attorney or a collection agency. Now, let me explain the difference, because there is a lot of confusion about this. A collection agency is someone who is generally not an attorney. They are simply another form of harassment to try and collect your money.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you're deciding, you know, it's not worth me waiting for this client any longer.
And you've also kind of decided, haven't you,
that you're not doing business.
You're going to lose this customer.
Yeah, you're going to lose this customer. And that's a very horrible decision to make for us. But sometimes we wait far too long.
Yeah.
The percentages are, I'm going to collect about 33% of whatever you give me that you give to me over 90 days overdue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to collect about half if you give it to me less than 90 days.
Yeah.
So keeping that in mind, where do you want to lose that half?
Well, you know, back to the thing about we're going to lose a customer, small business owners work so hard to get a customer, and we're such pathological optimists, it's just hard for us to believe that we can't redeem this customer.
That's right, especially when they've been a good customer for a long
yeah.
time. But businesses go bad. I teach salespeople how to avoid collection problems by, for example, walking into a retail store and looking around, and if they're low on inventory, don't sign a contract with them. It usually means they don't have enough money to fund their firm.
Yeah.
So there's lots of tricks to the trade of understanding when people are not a good client to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
When you've had a long-term client and all of a sudden goes bad, it's a big surprise. You're usually very, very surprised to find it out.
Well, that's a good point. See, one of the things that I'd like to point out is that sometimes people are going to become part of your problem.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people just have a problem.
Right.
And they just need you to work it out with them.
And the big thing they need to understand is, as you're trying to write them or call them, is to say, look, I'm more than happy to work this out with you, but if you don't reply, I can only assume that you have no intention of paying.
Right.
And that way you will at least work toward getting some sort of answer. And if you've got an answer, you can have somebody sign a promissory note.
Right.
You can have people make fairly fixed and firm decisions about how they're going to pay you back.
You can put them on COD to keep getting their business.
Put them on COD for a while and things like that.
You can add 10% to everything that you send them, COD, so that you can whittle away at the balance. See, this is the way, to me, when you can determine that you've got a customer who has a problem, not a former customer who's just trying to be a problem,
right,
then these are some of the tricks that you can use to redeem the customer and to help them out and to collect your money.
Absolutely.
Stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.